You read about great men, revivalists like Smith Wigglesworth. I started reading one of his books. And you read of the passion that he had for the Word of God. And there's a lot of things that he said. Now, before you pass judgment on this, just hear me out. And you read a lot of what he said. And you wonder, God, this man raised 19 from the dead? Yeah, he did. You know, he thought a man couldn't get filled with the Holy Ghost if he smoked cigarettes. And we know that not to be true. But he had 19 documented raised from the dead. One thing he did have, though, was a reverence for holiness. Then why would such a man have... I'm not going to talk bad about his doctrine, but why would he say some crazy things like he said? Well, we know he walked in power. We know he loved Jesus. We know that. It was obvious. I do believe if he would have caught on, and now he did preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but he really didn't know what the gift of praying in tongues would do. He really did. I've never really read where he knew exactly that it brought edification, exhortation, and comfort. But I believe had he caught on to what praying in the Spirit would do, I believe he would have finished his course on his bed with no pain. Praying out the complete mysteries of God, but be not mistaken. God can take a man or woman that's off a little bit and still work exploits through you, as long as you have a passion for Him. And I ain't gonna lie to you, I'd rather be off in a couple of areas and have a reverence for holiness and walk in the mantle that He walked in. A boldness to serve Jesus and an anointing. But wherever you walk, people would give their life to Jesus without you saying a word. I can't say that. I can't even come close to remotely saying and doing the things that he did for Jesus. So though I do believe in praying in the Spirit, I do believe in proper doctrine. But above that, we must believe in holiness. You know, we're aliens in this world. We don't operate out of society system. We operate out of the kingdom of heaven. And once I read that he thought a man or woman couldn't be filled without praying, without that smoked cigarettes, I said, Lord. But then I just received a quiet, nice impartation and correction from God. But the man had a reverence for holiness. He had a love for Jesus Christ. And when it all boils down to, Mr. Ralph, that's all what it's about, is how much do you love Jesus? But had he caught on to this walk, there's no telling what that man could have done in the kingdom of heaven. But it's okay, we learn from all of our forefathers. And we learn from the best teacher on the face of this earth, and that is the Holy Spirit. We have the perfect manual that's holy and it's undefiled, and that's God's Word. All of our diet in the Spirit should be organic, all of it. No preservatives. I heard Pastor Dave say one time, and I never agreed with it till a couple of years ago, that he wouldn't serve under a man that didn't pray in tongues, but that he's so right. We can't be under people that minister Jesus from their intellect. You just can't. We can't afford to. We just can't afford to. So when I read about men like that, I just get inspired knowing that a dumb old plumber that couldn't even read or write, you're going to have to learn how to read and write them and articulate and have great intellect to love Jesus. Just a passion, that's all. I got so inspired by reading about this man. who just had an overall passion to encounter Jesus Christ. And after all, that's what we're all after, right? Hallelujah. So, Father, we bless you. We bless you and we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for your word, that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. According to Psalms 18, your word is holy and it's undefiled, Lord. We don't want nothing with preservatives. We want something organic in the spirit, Jesus, with no preservatives. Just you, just your mind, just perfection, Lord. We don't need men's doctrines, men's commentary. We don't need men's minds or intellect or education. We don't need men's books, Father. All we need is your holy, 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 undefiled word. All we need is your holy, holy, holy Spirit to teach us, edify us, and comfort us every single day of the week. After all, Father, we're here just for a short time. We're aliens, Lord. We operate out of another kingdom. And that kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. So, Father, we bless you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Mr. Harry. Hallelujah. Going through, we started a little series on Sunday night. We had a real good time Sunday night with the Word. A lot of the kids gave me a lot of compliments about the Word, about what was taught. And you know, all praise and glory goes to Jesus. You know, it's all about Him. We can do nothing without the Holy Ghost, so why brag on something that you didn't get in yourself? He related over to me. So, you know, I've been going through Matthew 5, 6. I've been going through the Gospel, Luke 6, the Gospels, and Proverbs 5 and 7. That's all I've been going through. I've come to the conclusion. You know what Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is about? When it all boils down, do you know what 5, 6, and 7 is about? And it says it over and over again. It's about the kingdom of heaven. You've got to comprehend that we are aliens. We do not operate out of this world system. If we do, we are the salt that has lost its savor. Good for what? Nothing but to be cast down and trodden under foot of men. Matthew 5, and one thing, I think it was Pastor, it was him about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. We talked about the church at Ephesus in Revelation. Is that what he taught? About he said how he talked about their good works and how they lost their compassion for their first love, and Jesus being their first love. And that was awesome. That hit the spot with me, man. I don't know if it ministered to you, because you can get caught up. And again, God, I'll never talk about tongues or how we're taught to meditate. God, that's my life. That pulled me out of junk, man. You know, I used to cry in back of the church with issues in my life that I couldn't get out until I heard what tongues and how proper meditation of the word could help you, and then I rejoice in it now. But we can never lose focus of Jesus. And I began to go back as I read the words of Paul in Philippians, James, 1 Peter, read them all. I said, you know what, Lord? And I had been feeling the Holy Ghost call me to the Gospels for about 2 or 3 years, but I would kick that thought to the curb. I want to read the word. I want to read what Jesus said about things. Jesus. Not that anything else is to be kicked to the curb, because it's all inspired by the Holy Ghost, by God. But as I began to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you know, I came to the conclusion that it's strictly about the kingdom of heaven. We're aliens here, man. We're just here for a season. Our operation is internal. The way we operate is for the ways of above. I'm going to go back and review something. The majority won't know what I preached because you weren't here Sunday night, but just real quick. I mean, I got some real good stuff for you. I promise you're going to enjoy it. If you have an ear to hear tonight, you'll be blessed. I promise you this. Matthew 7 and 22. Many will say to me, and I'm not going to break this verse down. I'm just going to take something out of it, take it to the next verse, and then take it to the thrust of the main thrust of what I'm going to teach tonight. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. No, I'm sorry, 21. I made the same mistake Sunday. 21, not everyone. Listen to this now. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Listen to this now. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Jesus is teaching here. He said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Again, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is about the kingdom of heaven. We're aliens here. Our operation is internal. Our operation is from a seed. Our operation is from heaven. How we operate, how we say, how we think, how we live, what we quote, it all should be kingdom related. Every single bit of it. He says, if our next dwelling, if our place of living forever is with Him, then we must live according to how He lives. He said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, listen carefully now, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Which lets me know that, so the way I live, it's all based on the kingdom of heaven. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. I want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, then I must live according to the kingdom of heaven. Listen to this now. Listen to what he said again. I'm going to go back and say it one more time. I promise you're going to get something out of it. Not everyone that saith unto me, Jesus, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, what qualification do I need, Jesus, to enter the kingdom of heaven? Well, we know we must be born again. But then we know from 1 Peter that you get born again. There's a seed deposited and you call it an incorruptible seed or call it a perpetual seed. Perpetual meaning it always comes out of us. And we're to live out of that seed, which instructs us on the ways of the kingdom of heaven. So he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he or she that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Okay, we established that. In chapter 6, real quick, and Jesus taught them how to pray. But you can also say that he taught them how to pray. He said, this is the manner that you pray. But you could also say by reading 5, 6, and 7 several hundred times, he said, this is how you pray and how you live. Listen to what he said. So interesting. Remember, chapter 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray. You could say he was teaching them how to pray. But he also said this is how you live. Notice what he said real quick. In 6 and 10. Matthew 6 and 10. This is how you pray and live. You can say as you meditate 5, 6 and 7. Our Father which art in what? Heaven. He said, hallowed be thy name. This is what he said. Our Father who art in heaven, holy, holy, a little bit of worship. Holy is your name. Listen to this now. Thy kingdom come, thy will, the what? Thy will be done in earth as in heaven. Listen to this now. Our Father which art in heaven. Jesus said, this is how you pray. This is how you live. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. I worship you, Jesus. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Thy will be done on earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can I ask you a question? Is there a racist person in heaven right now? No. Racism doesn't exist in the kingdom of heaven. Chapter 7 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. 6 says, this is how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. According to chapter 7, he said, thy will be done on earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Who? He was on a mountain, ascended on a mountain, speaking to his disciples. Luke 6 says that he gazed upon his disciples. He looked at his disciples. He said, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. According to 7, when he was speaking to his disciples, who is supposed to perform his will here on earth as it is in heaven? Who? Me and you. We say, Lord, and I've said it before too, and I'm not dogging or correcting anybody. Oh, Father, send your rain from heaven. He wants to. He wants to send the rain from heaven that washes through our city. He wants to send that Holy Ghost fire. He wants to have His perfect will done here on earth. He wants that. He wants that revival. He wants the dead raised. He wants the lame to speak and hear. He wants the maimed to grow out of limb. But there's something that has to be done first. He said, our Father which art in heaven, holy, holy, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But according to 7, me and you got to walk out His will here on earth first before He sends that rain. It can be found, make no mistake. He said, our Father who art in heaven, holy, I worship you. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Your will be done by who? By me and you. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't have time to go into detail. I can back it up over and over again. But just for time's sake, we're going to go to the next part of this, he said. Notice though, real quick, I can go into this. And forgive us our debts. Oh, and he says, and give us this day our daily bread. And forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and power forever. I won't go into that. Okay, Lord, I won't. Verse 7, chapter 7 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father that is in heaven. So there's something that I must incorporate and do here on earth that's somewhere else. I must operate as an alien and operate and live out of the abundance of heaven. Here on earth, he said, this is how you pray and live. Our Father who art in heaven, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, my Lord. Thy will be done by me, Jesus. What work? What wills to be done by me here on earth? What do you want me to do, Jesus? What is it that you want me to walk out? First Peter says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What do you want me to work out, man? I'm glad you asked me that question. Go to Matthew 5. Now Luke 6 says, and I'm still fighting between the two, whether it's the same teaching or not. Luke 6 and Matthew 5, 6 and 7. Me and Pastor talked about the other. He said, Homer, quit outsmarting yourself. Just preach the gospel. I said, thanks, man. God. Well, Luke 6 says, he don't know either, though. So he don't know either. But Luke 6 says that he was walked down to a plain and he taught his disciples. Matthew 5 says that he went up onto a mountain and he taught his disciples. But that's neither here nor there. But Luke 6 says that he gazed. Listen to this now. And I put myself in this place. Luke 6 says that he gazed upon his disciples. You know what? I believe in my heart. There was 10, 15, 20,000 there. That each one of them could see Jesus looking at him or her directly. He said he gazed. Imagine Terry, Jesus elevated on a mountain. And he puts his gaze upon you. and on you and on you, Melody, at the same exact time. You know what I did when I read that? I put myself on that mountain. Luke 6 says in the last verse, he said, he that cometh to me, heareth me, and applies what he hears, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. So I put myself there. I said, Lord, I want to be on that mountain. I want you to gaze upon me. And I want to be there in the place where the 11, where the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I want to hear every word that you said to me to make me a better man. To make me a better. I don't care about being a good preacher. That'll happen. I'm called to be a believer in Jesus Christ and to carry out his righteousness first and foremost. That's all that matters. I can honestly say before God, I could care less about that pulpit. I mean, whether one came tonight or 50, it doesn't matter, man. I find my sufficiency in him every morning. The Bible says that he gazed upon his disciples. That's one thing I want him to do, is to gaze upon me and to correct me and to warn me and to teach me something holy and undefiled and organic with no... I don't need nobody to... I don't need a man that doesn't pray in the Spirit and that doesn't spend time with Jesus to teach me. I don't need that. I want something holy and undefiled. I need to look, be on the bottom of the mountain looking up and having him gaze at me one-on-one saying, Homer, this is how you live. Homer, this is how you pray. Our Father which art in heaven, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will. Okay, stop, Jesus, stop. Time out. Thy will be done on earth. What do you want me to do? Jesus can stop. I don't mean, I love you. You're precious. You're holy. You're in heaven. I worship you, Father. Your will be done here. But Lord, stop. What will? Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. What do you want me to do, Jesus? See, we're not just called to be Christians. We're called to be disciples. Like Pastor Dave says, a disciple is a disciplined follower, but you can't be a disciple unless you're a Christian first. But being a Christian is just the foundation. We're called to be Christians first and then disciples. A disciple has no right. He has no rights of himself. He has one mindset, and that is Jesus Christ. So as he talked in the prayer, and I'm almost there, he said, this is how you pray and live. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Jesus is telling them, your kingdom come. Your will be done. He's teaching them now. He said, your will be done. This is how you pray on earth as it is in heaven. What will? Now we know what Pastor Dave teaches us, the laws of meditation. The verse before gives meaning to the verse after. If you can just grasp that alone, you'll learn to comprehend the Bible a lot more than what you do. Matthew 5. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. He's looking at you right now, Renee. Your kingdom come. On earth. Your will be done on earth. He's looking at you, Melody, eyeball to eyeball. Melody, this is how you pray and live. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Me and you are called to work out his will that's in heaven down here. What will? What work? It's so simple. It's laid out right in front of us. Matthew 5 and 2. And he opened his mouth and he taught them. Matthew 5, 6 and 7 is about one place. It's talking about the kingdom of heaven. 5 and 2. And he opened his mouth and he taught them. And he taught them. I'm down there. He's on the mountain. Luke 6 says that he's gazing his eyes upon me and he's teaching me. And he says to Homer. And he says to Sandy. And he says to Ralph. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Verse 4, he said, Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done by who? By us. We're to perform His will that's up there, down here. For blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This is my favorite one right here, number 8. Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. To me, that's not talking about a physical see. To me, that's receiving all that He is here on earth. Qualification. Blessed are the pure. Blessed. You think there's a couple of pure hearts in heaven? You think there's a pure will in heaven? Well, the will that's there, we need to work it out down here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, or they shall receive that heavenly reign, that revival, that outpouring. But first, He's called me and you to be pure in heart. If we want to really see God manifest His glory here on earth. Blessed are the peacemakers. Think Jesus is the peacemaker? Yeah. He's a peacemaker up there. But He wants me to be a peacemaker down here. Living as an alien, living out the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, He said. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So I'm living my life. I'm living pure in heart. I'm meek. I'm living merciful. I'm a peacemaker. I'm born again. I love Jesus. I'm fulfilling His will here on earth as it is in heaven. Society persecutes me because I'm living as an alien according to the ways of another kingdom. They don't like it. They persecute me. Make no mistake. By the time Jesus comes back, the Muslim faith is going to want every single one of us dead. Make no mistake. Intensity will rise because of our confession. In years to come, persecution will arise because of our confession. But He said, I'm not giving you a choice. This is how you live. You live according to the kingdom that's up there. You live it and you manifest it down here. The day will come when we'll be persecuted for our faith. Not because we hate somebody. Not because we stole somebody's wife or stole somebody's husband or we stole money from somebody or we stole a car, we robbed somebody. No, 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 no. That's not even remotely close to what Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is talking about. The one that suffered persecution is the one that didn't go along with the Judaizers. The ones that didn't agree with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but the ones that made a stand and said, no, 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 I don't care what you say. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. He said, blessed are you in that day. Not when you had a problem with somebody in church because they didn't say hi to you. That has nothing to do. That's immaturity. That has nothing to do with Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Where two brothers can't get along in the church. That has nothing to do with Matthew 5, 6, and 7. If society persecutes me and you, it ought to be because we do not let go of the faith. Because we're not scared to do the right thing in Christ. That's where all of our persecution should be. It should never be because we slander or because we murder, not murders and kill, murdering as and hating our brothers and sisters. It should never be because we got ugly attitudes at work. It should never be because of that. It should always be because I'm walking merciful, because I'm walking meek, because I'm pure in heart, because I don't behold the plank in your eye, because I live according to the customs of heaven. That should be the only reason we're ever persecuted, not for doing raw deals at work, not for stealing, not for cussing. Our persecution should always be, not because we gossip, should always be because we live right according to the kingdom of heaven. If that's the case, we got a long ways to go, don't we? He said, we are the light of this earth. He told me and you. What about when he said, this is how you pray, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done by you, Homer, on earth as it is in heaven. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, you are the light of this earth. A city that is set on a hill, it cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And they give it light to all who are in the house. He said, you, Melody, you, Terry, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, what's it good for? It's good for nothing but for men to walk over it. It's trash. He said, you are the light of this world. To who? To Mr. that didn't know Jesus. See, he's called me and you to perform his will here on earth. It didn't matter that he was racist. That's not what Jesus said. I was called to perform his will here on earth as it is in heaven. There's love in heaven. There's mercy in heaven. There's purity in heaven. As it's there, I got to perform it here towards him. So our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done. By who? By me and you on earth as it is in heaven. When it says the blind cannot lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. Leading the blind, shall they not both fall into a ditch? Worse than that, Luke 6 says the man that's blind, trying to lead the blind, Jesus said, you hypocrite. The blind leading the blind, shall they not both fall into the ditch? And by the way, Homer, Jesus said, you hypocrite. Didn't I call you as my ambassador? Didn't I say that you were an alien from another nation? Didn't I say in this manner, therefore pray and live, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, thy will. Didn't I tell you to fulfill my will here on earth? And didn't I tell you, Homer? You disannulled perfection. Didn't I tell you that you were the city that was set on a hill? Didn't I tell you to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in? What a love and a responsibility that we have. Remember that. Remember that. That every time that I get a sales call, I whisper to myself, I said, love, love, love. Every deal that I make, I make it. I try my very best to make it out of my godly conscience. He said, you are the light of this earth. Listen to that. You are the light of this earth. A city that is set on a hill. He said, it cannot be hid. You know how I cannot be hid? When I'm pure in heart. When I'm meek. You know when he said real quick, and I'm almost done. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. When he said in 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven as it is in heaven. He said, rejoice in that day. Why, Jesus? Because you performed my will to one that really couldn't stand you, son. You are becoming complete even as your Father is complete. In case we've forgotten, Jesus and God are no longer here. Jesus is not here anymore. We are his representatives here on earth for the kingdom of heaven. Remember that the next time you bless somebody. Remember that. We just gave somebody a taste of what Christianity is supposed to be like. We don't have the right to... Have you before? Yes, I have. Does it make it right? No, I haven't. I stopped posting on Facebook and I stopped blogging till I deal with a lot of pride in my life. The next time you blast somebody or take advantage of a business deal or rude to somebody at work, remember what Jesus said. That your will be done here on earth. By who? By me and you, as it is in heaven. But when you go to that place of exchange, when you sit down and read His Word and you deposit what this Word says about every situation in His life, this Word has the potential to flat out change me and you. This Word has the potential. If one of my kids, God forbid, ever left at an early age, died in a car accident, this Word has the potential to keep me stable. If my wife were to run off with another man one day and break my heart, this Word has the potential to sustain me. If my kid, one of my daughters, turns gay or homosexual, when you go to that place of exchange, that Word has the power to sustain you and to not compromise. That Word renews me and you. There's nothing on the face of this earth that should faze me and you when we go to that place of exchange. What place of exchange? When you sit down and when you put something holy and undefiled inside of you and kick the immoral woman to the curb. After all, my friends, we're called to walk according to His will in heaven here on earth. I'm sure the majority can testify in these closing words that the problems that we've had as Christians, 9 out of 10 have been with other Christians. Is that not a sad situation? I mean, I've never had that problem before, never. See, I just lied. You get my drift? We want the glory. We want to see the dead raised. We want the floodgates of heaven to consume our town. And He wants us. And He wants to send the rain from heaven. But He's asking me and you. He's on the mountain speaking to Barbara. He's on the mountain speaking to Jimmy. He's on the mountain speaking to me. He's saying, "You are the light of this world." When am I the light of this world, Jesus? When you're pure in heart, when you're merciful, when you're meek, when you are these things that I listed in 3 through 7, you are fulfilling my will here on earth as it is in heaven. And if you're fulfilling my will here on earth and you're persecuted for it, rejoice and be exceedingly glad because you just obeyed my word. Son, great, great is your reward in heaven. Smith Wigglesworth said, and I got it on my Bible. He said, consume God's word till it consumes you. Something should take precedence over that. And it did that day. It is the word of the holy, undefiled King. Now the day will come. Now that was, that's what's pastor say? First the blade, then the, what is it? First the corn, then the, yeah. 30-fold first. 30, 60, 100. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. Was it first the ear, then the blade, then the corn? Did I say that right that time? You know what I mean. Don't you correct me. Man, we got a lot on our plate, don't we? That's why James said everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Quick to listen to what, James? The inward witness. If we're patient, I try my best to just be quiet. Okay, Lord, what would you say? You're looking at me on the mountain, Jesus, and you're teaching me. You're teaching me, Jesus. Read Matthew 5, 6, 7. Put yourself there. Picture him gazing upon you, eyeball to eyeball, giving you the instruction on how to live. He said, this is how you pray and live. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. You know what that's based on? Give us this day our daily bread. You know what that's based on? On me and you keeping his will. If you're consistently worried about where your next meal or where your next provision is coming from, it might be. Now, some of that persecution might be coming from Satan, but he made me a promise in 6 that I'm not to be like the Gentile, worrying about what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to eat. He told me that's nothing to him. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if you're struggling with these things, you might want to go tippy-toe and look in the mirror. Matthew 6. No. It wasn't me. I just repeated what Matthew 6 said. He said, for these things do the Gentiles seek. He said, what do the Gentiles seek, Jesus? They seek provision. You shouldn't seek provision if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You shouldn't seek provision. It's automatic. You're an idiot, Omar. I'm sorry. Matthew 6. Nothing to do with me. So these things do the Gentiles seek. You know when he said it, and I'm done for real in 5 minutes, I'm not lying, Miriam. You know what made, I really am done because I'm feeling already the teacher coming off of me. You know when he talked about how the Pharisees and the Sadducees prayed that, like hypocrites, that their teaching was, that what, no, he said, be not, let me read it real quick, hold on. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father. Pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen. For they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father, yes, part, he said, their prayer was in vain. Not because they said it over and over again, but what do me and you have as disciples of Jesus? What do we have? According to what I just said, we have a what? A what? We have a what as disciples of Jesus? We have a heavenly Father, okay. We have a Father as disciples that gives us provision if we seek him first and his righteousness. But you know what made the prayer of the hypocrite vanity? Yes, they did it in hypocrisy so people could see them pray. But as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I have a heavenly Father. That our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. A hypocrite in context, a Pharisee and a Sadducee could sit in the marketplace and present beautiful and articulate beautiful prayers. But you know what they don't have? They don't have a. Therefore, their prayer is vanity. Our prayer should never be in vanity. Because we have a Father. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What righteousness? Being pure in heart. Being merciful. Being meek. Being a peacemaker. We should never worry about where our next meal is coming from. Not according to Matthew 6. Not if we're living right. Well, I'm struggling. Lay la Biblia. Read the Bible. I would consume Matthew 5, 6, and 7 if I were you. I would consume it to a T.